I want to talk about what I spoke about last night at Friday Night Live because I'm still thinking about it. I started off by saying I don't feel like myself today. How many times have you said that? And yet it makes absolutely no sense. Because whatever you're feeling, you're feeling. So what do you mean I don't feel like me? This is you feeling like this. But we split ourselves off all the time from ourselves. What does it mean to say, my back hurts me? Is your back not you, that it's hurting you? You can say, this person who's hitting me is hurting me. But to say my back is hurting me suggests that we're composed of different parts, that we're not a whole. And we do this all the time. I did something, but it wasn't really me. The truth is, all of it is me. Even the parts when I don't act like me, they're me, which means I'm acting like me. Just not the me I like to think of me as. Which leads us to a realization that everyone knows on some level, but we resist, and that is that we have multiple selves. Not one. And even though, as the anthropologist Lorenz put it, we have a parliament of instincts, that is, even though in some broad way they cooperate, just like a band, there are lots of different instruments in us and they play different tunes at different times and they don't always coordinate very well, but they're all there. And that realization is liberating and terrifying simultaneously. The poet Neruda wrote a poem called We Are Many. It's all about himself. And he talks about how when he sees a fire, he feels simultaneously like the arsonist and the fireman. Because there's a part of him that really wants to set that fire, because look at the beautiful blaze, but there's another part of him that knows he has to put that fire out. The great writer Borges wrote an essay called Borges and I, talking about how he's always split. And in an exchange that might not have happened, but I wish did, between Dostoevsky and Dickens, Dostoevsky, in meeting him in London, said to him, you know, Dickens, when I write, I feel like two people, and Dickens said, only two? We are many. It's why we're torn in different directions all the time, and why we can love such different things. Architecture and football and food and people, they're very different things. We love them with different parts of ourselves or different selves. As Whitman famously put it, I am large and contain multitudes, but that's not only true of poets, it's true of all of us. And we see it in Jacob. Jacob is, in some ways, the great multiple man of the Torah. He starts off, in fact, by being a twin, which already gives you a hint that identities are multiple. It's a way of saying, yes, these two are alike, but look how different they are. And, to make it more confusing, he imitates his twin to steal the birthright. As if to say, I'm not satisfied with being me, I want to be him too. Because there's a lot of me's in here. And then he runs off. And different parts of him marry different women. I mean, there had to be some small part of Jacob, let's face it, that knew that he was in bed with Leah. Granted, he was young, but it is metaphorically a way of expressing the multiple selves. And in fact, a medieval commentator, maybe like that, maybe with a little bit of a wink in his eye, said what this is teaching you is nobody goes to bed with the same person they wake up with. Maybe he went to bed with Rachel and woke up with Leah, but that's a metaphor for the fact that people, in other words, transform through experiences. We are many selves. Jacob has dreams and he wakes up. And do you remember what he does as soon as the dream is over? You would think, first he says, oh my God, there's a God in this place and I didn't know. So he has this fantastic revelation. He feels a sense of God and then he starts to bargain. He says, well, God, if you bring me home and if you keep me safe and if you do this and if you do that, then I will follow you. And part of you wants to say, that's not like Jacob, but it obviously is because Jacob did it. When we describe ourselves, we edit. I'm the kind of person who doesn't do things that I sometimes do. Not only that, but we get upset when we see the same traits in others that we know are in ourselves, like when somebody cuts you off in traffic, and of course you do that too. But that example of one of your multiple selves is not comfortable. So what are we supposed to do with all this? Ideally, what we do is we live a life and we have a tradition that is broad enough and rich enough to give expression to the multiple selves that are inside us. That we don't feel the need to do surgery on our souls and be just this kind of person and never cross over the boundary into all the other people that in fact we are. That we allow ourselves the luxury of being ourselves, plural. And we don't constantly narrow our own being by definitions about who we are not. If you have not surprised yourself by things you've done in your life, then you're not paying attention. Because we all do things we said we would never do, say things we said we would never say. And sometimes, that's good. Tell me you've never done that. Really? You're the only person whose cell phone never went off at a time it wasn't supposed to? But you know, you have to be willing to be large enough inside to entertain yourselves and not to lose them along the way. And so I want to close with a story and a word of encouragement. Years ago, Somerset Maugham, the English writer, wrote a book called Quartet, four novelettes, and they made it into a movie. And he narrated the movie, and the last one, about the lady and his colonel, was about a very proper Britishman who never went out without his bowler hat and was always dressed exactly so. And his home had a long table at which his wife sat on one end and he sat on the other. And they spoke to each other as little as possible in dulcet English clipped tones. And one day at breakfast, his wife says, you know, my dear, I've written a book of poems. And he goes, oh yes, very nice, very nice. Doesn't pay attention at all because it doesn't fit anywhere into his world. But then he goes to work and he starts hearing people talking about his wife's poems. And then he sees it in a bookshop and now it's starting to become uncomfortable and she encourages him to come with her to the launch of the book at the publisher's, and although he's reluctant and he thinks it's all, in that good British word, narishkeit. Even though he thinks it's ridiculous nonsense, he'll go because she asked him to go, and so he goes, and there he discovers, as people are talking about the poetry, that it's about a passionate love affair. And now he's interested. And as he hears one conversation after another with people saying, this is too powerful to be made up, this must be real, now he wants to know. And so that night, he says to his wife, who are these poems about? And she says, please, just leave it alone. Don't ask me. I don't want to talk to you about it. He tries, but he can't help it. And he pushes her and pushes her and pushes her. And she says, please don't make me tell you. And he says, I'm making you tell me. And she tells him, they're about you. But not as you are now. Because the man in these poems is gone. You can lose yourselves if you don't give them room to flourish and to grow. They can disappear. So keep your eyes on all the different parts of you that move through the world. Yes, emphasize some, de-emphasize others. Try, as we say, to cultivate your highest self and your kindest self. But know that we are many, and that is good. That's how we were made. After all, we're in the image of God, and God is infinite. So if you have a spark inside you, that prize that you can keep your eyes on, then you'll know it will show itself in many ways in this world. Just like Jacob, who, after all, with Israel, gave us our name. Shabbat Shalom.